Here we go. Pulling up the slider. We've got Ed Bajarski on the phone. Hopefully you can hear us loud and clear. Ed, you there?
I'm here, Arn, in one of my hoop hoses, where it's maybe the last gasp of spring until winter returns. Well, I hope the weather wizards are wrong.
Yes, I hope so, too. Because, it is spring, by golly. Maybe we have some cold spring weather here, sort of sprinkling in a little bit, but I can't have another winter. Not now.
Yes, we've had a little more snow than usual, a little more cold weather than, I guess, or what we have gotten used to, at any rate. But there's all the more reason to build yourself some sort of a hoop house or greenhouse to start the season earlier. We're sitting in my big greenhouse we just recovered because the old cover got shredded after a Thanksgiving storm we had. And it's getting up to 75 to 80 degrees in there during the day, which is pretty darned acceptable for a gardener.
Yeah. You know, that is a great point. We're living here in Southeast Alaska. If you don't have a hoop house, greenhouse, it might be well worth considering making that a project this year.
Well, I was just scavenging today. A fella advertised on Craigslist free PVC pipe from a boat cover. They're taking boat covers off this time of year. So I went down there, hurried down there with my truck, and got enough to make lots of hoops for many more of my boxes. And I'll probably share some of that, too, with some other folks who want to cover some of theirs, because everything we can do to warm the soil makes a difference. And it's just, we can get started gardening earlier in the spring, and we can be gardening longer in the fall, and stuff is sprouting in our gardens. I mean, I've got, depending on which part of the yard, my lower yard, which gets the sun, comes over the mountain more quickly, there's primroses there which are sprouting and have buds on them outdoors. There's snowdrops in bloom. I saw some crocus, some deep dark purple crocus up by the house in a sunny location that are opening, and more crocus downtown today, down in downtown Juneau. So again, every little bit of those warmer spots, it's really obvious that they start to grow sooner. So we hopefully, folks covered up their beds last fall with some clear plastic, and as the snow melts away, it warms up faster. And I've got garlic. I'm sitting in my hoop house, but I've got garlic behind me and in front of me sprouting. Also, it's great, lots of good omens.
That's nice. Ooh, that's good stuff. My own garlic hasn't sprouted yet, but it hasn't been under a hoop house, so I'm sure it's coming up soon.
Yeah, well, I've got the stuff. The boxes and beds that are up close to the house still have a foot of snow on them. Well, there's that much difference in, you know, you're talking about microclimates. I've got them right here in my yard, just 100 feet apart.
Absolutely, yeah.
And so that's okay. They'll sprout and grow at their own pace. And in the meantime, we can be getting ready for other stuff. I planted, 2 weeks ago, planted spinach in one of the hoop houses, and it is sprouting. And I did just plant some peas and kale, again, in a different hoop house. It is not yet sprouting, but it's only been in the ground for 3 days. So I need to be a little more patient.
Oh, it's exciting, though, to, you know, get the hands back in the dirt again. Ah, springtime. while we're on the phone here, why don't I put the offer out there for listeners out there. If they have a question for, you know, this time of year in the garden, we've got our phone lines fixed up these days to be able to put your call on the air with Master Gardener Ed Bajarski. So if you have a question for Ed, feel free to call in during this program. We have till about 3 o'clock where we could field some listener questions, too, while we're at it. But meanwhile, let's hear some early season gardening advice from you, Ed.
Well, first thing, that's assuming, you know, at least if you've got a greenhouse or a hoop house, do the cleanup work that didn't get done last fall.
True.
And scratch it up. If you have, whether it be pots or boxes in there, you can mix in some fertilizer and compost into those so they're more ready. Check your temperatures, and the cool weather crops can get started out there. And, yeah, doing the cleanup work is important. Be careful what you use. I mean, You know, we're doing a lot of sanitizing of our lives these days. So be careful if you think you may want to use bleach, household bleach, which works. But boy, you need, if you're in an enclosed place, you need to have, you almost need to have a full respirator to do it safely, because you don't want to breathe bleach, you know, bleach vapors. It's very bad for you. Mm-hmm. So maybe better off using some of the other cleaning supplies. Vinegar, you know, vinegar works for wiping down glass quite nicely, and ammonia. Again, be careful with whatever you're using, and try not to breathe this stuff. Make sure you have your doors and windows vents open so you can do it, and so you, or get out often to take a few deep breaths too, of course. When you're doing your cleanup work, get rid of old vegetation. Look for slugs. The slugs and snails are hiding underneath the pots and in all sorts of interesting places. I haven't seen one yet, and I'm hoping that maybe that really cold weather we had earlier, you know, right there at the beginning of January, when suddenly the weather changed from spring to winter, may have killed off some, if we're lucky.
Right, right. We had such a slow winter all the way through December. It was kind of uncomfortably warm, and then boom! Deep cold in January, and maybe that did kill some pests.
We can hope so. We can hope so. You know, maybe some aphids and stuff, too. I've had my greenhouse, I mentioned, blew off, the cover blew off, the big one, and I'd had some aphid issues with cucumbers in there. So I'm hoping maybe that they got frozen out, and we'll find out. But now I've got, that greenhouse got expanded from 16 by 30 up to 16 by 48, and got the first layer on there. I'm going to put a second layer on next week, hopefully. And to hold some heat, and then it's time, I'm going to start some tomatoes, because they should be able to go out into the greenhouse, that one at least, a little earlier than other years, where it hasn't been. I'm hoping it's going to hold a bit more nighttime heat, so it won't get so cold. Mm-hmm. The single layer of plastic doesn't really hold much heat in, unless you've got lots of barrels of water or something else mm-hmm. for heat. So that will help. If folks are, you know, have a double layer greenhouse, maybe got storm windows or double pane windows or otherwise, well, they may be better off and be able to get those tender plants out more quickly. So it's figuring out when to start stuff, when to start different plants, and that's where the package right there on the seed package can help you tell you when to start or how long before transplanting time, or before your last frost date, whenever that happens. Mm-hmm. So if you kept track of some past years, and of course each year is different, you know, but you've got a kind of a rough idea to count back 6 weeks or 8 weeks before your last frost date when to start cabbages. Well, cabbages, they can, you know, they could be started pretty early because they can take a light frost if they're hardened off. But mm-hmm. tomatoes or peppers, cucumbers cannot tolerate frost. So again, you got to work, got to make sure it's warm enough, or they will not be happy,
mm-hmm.
or they will be dead.
Right, right. Huh. Okay. So with your tomatoes, then you're talking about starting tomatoes. You mean starting them from seed inside, under lights?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And again, that's where we've talked before about doing this, but still have it starting out with and I recycle pots and trays and all that sort of thing, and washing those pots with a 10% bleach solution will help to clean those out, kill off the fungus and bacteria. And I mean, it works for your, well, same thing, works for your things you might be sanitizing in your house too. That 10% bleach solution will kill most any of the bacteria, and also you don't want to be washing with it. That's not a good idea. Your hands, you know, bare hands is pretty hard on the skin, but it cleans them up nicely. Start out with some clean, buy some new potting soil for these, because again, the old potting soil that's been used once has fungus and bacteria in it mm-hmm. that once they're growing, they can kind of hold up against it, but the new seedlings are very tender.
Right.
And the disease which happens to new little seedlings called damping off, you have a nice healthy crop of seedlings out there one day, and the next day you go out there and they're flopped over on their side, and basically it's because that fungus attacks right at the soil surface and just like a cutworm or a slug, essentially kills it right at the base, to the top, and then you get to start all over again if you got more seeds.
Right.
But now, yeah, again, right now, if in those hoop houses, some of that cool weather crops can be started. You know, if you're not going below freezing temperatures, this is perfect. And kale, I mean, well, like I said, the spinach is very cool tolerant. So since I planted the spinach, it's been down to 25 degrees, but it's also getting up to 70 degrees during the day, so that soil is warming, and it's up it comes. And you got to get them going very early, because spinach will then bolt fairly quickly with our longer and longer days. So by mid-May, you got to have it eaten up pretty much by then. And by then, you can have lettuce and Swiss chard and other greens started to go into the ground to replace the spinach, I hope.
Right. Good point. Yeah. Yum. The thought of that already is just getting me kind of hungry.
And the other, I'll mention one more thing that goes back to what you harvested last fall. If you're lucky enough to have that spare garage refrigerator or a root cellar where you've got potatoes, carrots, beets, leeks, and other assorted crops stored, is to go in and check those. Make sure whether in the boxes or bags or buried in sawdust or damp sand. Check those. Check to see that you don't have rot starting. Check to see that you don't have mice and mold eating into those, which has been is a problem at my house. I had voles that chewed off some little baby fig trees I had in my root cellar. I was quite unhappy about that.
Yeah.
Check your storage areas. Oh, and there's the first dead mosquito. As we live on the radio. Well, dead on the radio, actually, but still.
Sign of spring, I suppose.
And then also, if you're lucky enough that you planted a bunch of parsnips and overwintered them, I am anxiously waiting for the snow to disappear off my parsnip patch so I can dig up and eat some of those, which are going to be just incredible, fresh, and sweet roots from those.
Ooh.
So, you know, just things, you know, for that, just like with the garlic, you had to plan back there 6 months, 8 months, 9 months ago for this harvest.
Right. That's exciting. Gosh, that's something to really look forward to.
It really is. Yeah, so again, talking about garlic, again, this stuff in my hoop house is up, some of it's 3 inches tall. Outdoors, some of it's still completely under cover, under snow. I won't see it for another week or two or three. Last year at this time, all of my garlic was up and uncovered because we had a very mild March. And it was already, some of it was 4 inches tall. So, again, big difference from year to year, so we have to kind of plan, take note of it, plan with our coverings and all of that, and be flexible, obviously, with some stuff isn't going to go in as early as others.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, plan for, check with your local suppliers on things like seed potato. You know, get, of course, you can buy seeds. Everybody's got seeds, I hope, and is probably buying some. But I've had call today just about seed potatoes, and that when are they going to be here? When can I get some? And I think more people are going to probably be gardening this year, so it's wonderful.
Right. Yeah, it's a great thing to do at home.
Yeah, and you can, if you're with your family members, well, they can be gardening with you. That, you know, as long as they're not coughing and hacking and otherwise exhibiting unfriendly signs. But certainly it's a great occupation to do and very satisfying, and you know, help feeding yourself and feeding your family, feeding your neighbors.
Oh, yeah. It's the healthiest. It's the healthiest activity that I know of, you know, growing fresh, homemade food and then, you know, doing so outdoors. Yeah, it's a great way to be active and contribute to the health of yourself and your household. Gosh, so good.
Yeah.
Speaking of potatoes, you'd mentioned seed potatoes, and I'm sure there's folks out there who've saved some potatoes from their crop to use as seed potatoes this spring. When do people want to think about planting potatoes?
Well, again, depends on your weather and how warm and sunny your spot is. When we lived in Petersburg and in Sitka, well, and here too in Juneau, I have gotten potatoes in as early as the 10th to 15th of April. You know, if my soil is warming and drying out, that's really good. See here. And we'll just see how it goes. But for those folks who have their own leftover potatoes that they kept, maybe they hand-sorted some really nice potatoes for seeding their own for this year, then they might get those out. I mean, last week of March here. So they could be getting those out into a warmer place, actually leave them in, like, paper bags or something like that, where they can start to sprout. If they've been nice and cold, and I mean, mine in my root cellar have no sprouts to speak upon them. Bring them into a warmer place, keep them still dark and like in a paper bag so they can kind of breathe. Or even if you've got small ones, you could put them into egg cartons. If you've got a bunch of egg cartons, you've been saving. And set them there to start to sprout. So the idea is to try to get a 1 to 2 inch sprout would be perfect for planting, which is probably going to take 2 weeks to 4 weeks. And again, if your ground, by that time, your ground or some of your neighbor's ground may be ready for planting. So that's the pretty much basic one. And as soon as you buy some potatoes from seed potatoes from your local retailer, get those into a warm spot, put them in a paper bag where they will sprout fairly quickly. It just means that if you don't have much sprouts on them, they will sprout more slowly in the ground because the ground is probably going to be cooler than your house. I would assume so.
Right. Good. Okay, that's good to think about for folks. Here is a question that just got brought into the studio here. Every spring, krill wash up on the beach near Petersburg. You get a beach full of little shrimp, you know, little krill. And the question is that good garden fertilizer? And if so, when should it go on, or how should it be used in the soil?
Interesting. Now, that's something I don't believe I've ever seen that. But anyway, it should, most any of the critters and plants that grow in the ocean, seaweed, I know a lot of folks will gather, if they can, gather herring eggs too, or herring eggs on kelp and all that, and it's strong, smelly stuff. But certainly, I used to get that when I lived in Sitka because there was a lot of it. And dig it in, bury it in the gardens would be the best. Maybe into your compost too. But if you put it in your gardens, you would probably want to put it in beds that would not have the root vegetables in them because it rich. It can be too high in nitrogen for potatoes, carrots, beets, parsnips, turnips, that sort of thing. You know, you might put it in boxes where you would be growing leafy greens, Swiss chard, cabbage, broccoli, lettuce, and that sort of thing instead, which can tolerate and use higher quantities of nitrogen. Or if you're really dreaming big, you know, go for some corn, you know, bury it in your corn patch. As is traditional, and then same thing, and then covered over. You know, if it's starting to appear on your beaches already, but as soon if your ground is not thawed or not frozen, just start digging it into a bed. And you know, if you dig a trench across the bed and throw this stuff in there, maybe a little bit of seaweed on top of that, and then throw soil over the top of it. And then the worms and the soil microorganisms will start feasting on that and break it down into forms then that the plants can use.
Nice. Okay, and so there have been some of these, you know, it's a bit of a shock when you're out on the beach and you come upon one of these, you know, looks like a big old a pink cloud that's settled on the beach. You know, it's just a big old huge spread of these shellfish. And that has already taken place around here. So folks, if they see that, they can gather it up and then just plunge it into their beds if they're for leafy greens.
Yeah, I'd be interested to know a little more of the science of that. If somebody has that, you know, what if it truly is krill, which is, you know, kind of basically like tiny crustaceans, baby shrimp, and other assorted stuff. I haven't never seen that one.
Yeah, it's a shocking thing to see. I remember the first time I was on the beach and saw it, and I thought, oh, this is end of days. because it's very, very disturbing to see. But, you know, happens with some regularity, it seems, around here. And so, but that's good to think about. You know, they've got those shells. So that's a good tip on how to use it and when then. Nice.
And something else people might use, too, say if they're making, you know, if they're trying to compost, which is a good thing, and they're not greatly successful with their compost as far as getting nice, perfectly broken down, sweet-smelling stuff, that maybe they might take that material that's partially broken down, at least, and, again, dig trenches in your boxes or beds and dump this stuff in. And, I mean, and that kind of can even go with maybe you've been storing buckets of stuff on your back porch over the winter, which is frozen and thawed, and it's kind of the smelly liquid, semi-liquid stuff. Even something like that can be poured into a trench in your garden bed to use to fertilize, to improve the soil, to stimulate the soil critters in there, which is what we want, because over the winter it's been cold, so they haven't been moving too fast or working or eating so quickly. But things are warming up with the, and we've got our soil covered with clear plastic, then all of that helps to wake up those soil microorganisms, which again are breaking down the nutrients in there, and that's where putting some organic fertilizer into those beds early, you know, maybe 2 weeks or a month before you plant. But if you can get in there and get that stuff in, and then again, those nutrients will be more broken down, ready for the plants to use.
That's a great point. So we just got a call. I'm going to slide them up here. They're on line 3. Hello there. You are on the phone with Master Gardener Ed Bajarski.
Yeah, hi. I don't have a question. I just wanted to share an experience. A few years ago, I was given a bag of fish feed from the hatchery that was expired. And I decided to experiment in the garden with it. I was going to fortify a bed, so I dug the whole bed out. I put the fish meal down and mixed it in with the soil and buried it under a couple of feet of topsoil. And got up the next morning, and it looked like somebody had gone through and rototilled the whole area.
Oh, I bet you
a black bear in the neighborhood that must have gone nuts trying to find where the fish was buried, but he did a pretty good job of rototilling.
Yes, I have seen that. Yes, I've seen it. Yep.
I should have brought it to your experience.
Yeah, and that is really good stuff. That would be something, you know, the stuff is extremely high in nitrogen, stimulates fungus growth quickly, and that is something you want to use in moderation in a garden bed. That'd be good. That'd be something to perk up your compost also.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much for that call and that comment. That is a very, very good point. That if you're putting, you know, fragrant, you know, content like that into the garden beds, you might be inviting curious, big-nosed, you know, visitors.
Right, right. That might be another reason to have your electric fence on and protecting the garden too. So, see how that goes, and think about that too, to keep your local larger 4-footed critters out, which will be, well, yeah, I hear they're starting to wake up in places.
Hmm. Yeah, that is a consideration for sure. You know, if our gardens are where good food is, well, lots of things are hungry, I suppose.
Yep. And I see I've got a visitor that I'm going to have to deal with, bringing it with a dump truck.
Oh, okay. Work in the garden beckons you away then. Maybe that's a great spot to leave it on then, and we'll pick it up again next week. Ed, it's great to kick off the In the Garden season with you and have you with us so we can just share ideas, and appreciate that call with that comment there. And if folks have questions about their gardens, they can shoot me an email during the week or get in touch during the show by phone. And it's great to hear what people are wondering about.
Yep, sounds good. I'm looking forward to talking about gardening, and hopefully we have a great summer.
Yes, let's hope so. All right, thank you, Ed. We'll talk to you again next week.
Very good, Ari. Bye.
All right, great. Well, that's In the Garden with Master Gardener Ed Byerski joining us by phone from Juneau. Really a great resource of knowledge and information for gardening in Southeast Alaska. And we want to say thanks again to the Flower Farm for helping underwrite this program. They're out at 6 Rory's Road, Papke's Landing. Currently on a no-contact basis, they are open with blooming plants, primroses and more, potting soil, compost, manure to get your flower and vegetable beds ready, and vegetable starts ready for when the weather warms up. They're open 10 to 4 every day except Wednesday, and they do delivery, 772-3464. So join us again next week for more In the Garden. If you want to shoot an email, orin@kfsk.org, to send in a question for next week's show. Coming up next, it's High Country Music, the songs curated by Chris Ford this afternoon.